Hello everyone, and welcome to the Qatar Navigation Milaha conference call. Please note that this call is being recorded. I'd now like to hand over to our moderator for today, Bobby Sarkar. You may now begin.
Thanks, Ellie. Hello everyone. This is Bobby Sarkar, Head of Research at QNB Financial Services. I wanted to welcome everyone to Milaha's fourth quarter and year-end 2024 results conference call. So on this call from Milaha Management, we have Akram Iswaisi, who is the EVP in Finance and Investments, and Sami Shetaya, who is the VP in Financial Planning and Analysis. So we will conduct this conference with the management first reviewing the company's results and going over the presentation, and then we'll follow up with the Q&A session. I would now like to turn the call over to Akram. Akram, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining Milaha's 2024 year-end earnings call and your interest in the company. 2024 marked another strong financial year for Milaha, one which we are all proud of. All our core marine-related segments posted year-over-year growth. Offshore has had a fantastic year. It continues to capitalize on not only the favorable oil and gas industry growth here in the region related to Qatar's expansion primarily, but also we've begun reaping the benefits of past year investments in capabilities, processes, and systems and know-how. On the maritime and logistics side, we have narrowed the large operating profit gap from 2023. Largely due to our strategic initiative of optimizing our container shipping network and continuing to work on optimizing our logistics operation and obviously recovery, focusing on recovery of outstanding dues. And in the gas and petchem sector segment, our results from associates and JVs continue to provide steady, reliable income and growth. All in all, a fantastic year. I will now go over our consolidated financial results and then our various individual business segments before turning it over to Sami to go over the outlook. As usual, we will end the call with questions and answers. The key highlights of our financial results. Milaha's operating revenues came in at $2.8 billion for the year ended December 31st, 2024, compared with $2.9 billion for the same period in 2024, for a decrease of 3%. Operating profit came in at $536 million for the year ended December 31st, 2024, compared with $436 million for the same period in 2024 for an increase of 23%. Net profit for the year ended ended at $1.12 billion compared with $1 billion for the same period in 2024 for an increase of 9%. And lastly, our earnings per share was 0.99 for the year ended December 31st, 2024, compared with 0.91 for the same period in 2023. All right, getting into our segments. Maritime and logistics, operating revenues for this segment increased by $49 million, going from $779 million in 2023 to $828 million in 2024. Our container shipper unit growth in that segment the profit center more than offset declines in our freight logistics business. In the container shipping business, freight rates of newly opened China routes provided uplift and helped revenues grow by $76 million compared to last year. In freight logistics, reduced freight forwarding volumes, in particular project cargo, and lower warehouse utilization versus 2023, contributed to a reduction of $20 million in revenue. Operating expenses came down by $50 million, with a $12 million increase in depreciation and amortization from our container shipping unit related to additional capex, which was more than offset by the following. A favorable swing in our bad debt provisions due to successful recovery of outstanding debts, the non-recurrence of one of items recorded in 2023, a lower corporate overhead allocation due to a change in reporting structure, and more fleet and technical expenses being allocated to our offshore unit due to increased maintenance and repairs and crewing expenses. Non-operating income decreased by $33 million, and that brings us to an overall bottom line increase of $45 million versus 2023. Moving on to offshore. Offshore ended the year with operating revenue down $53 million, or 3% versus 2023. Increased chartering rates were offset by planned and unplanned vessel maintenance, which impacted our revenue-generating capacity. Overall expenses decreased by $58 million, or with $135 million in reduced operating supplies and expenses tied to lower charter-in expenses, third-party contractors, and various miscellaneous expenses, more than offsetting higher salaries and wages, fleet expenses, and other operating expenses. The net income result was year-over-year growth of $44 million, or 13%. Moving on to gas and petchem, this segment recorded a small $2 million increase in revenue, equivalent to 1% growth versus last year, but with a $34 million increase in expenses. $30 million of that increase is related to an increase in depreciation amortization, with the bulk of that tied to a change in the useful life of our two wholly owned LNG vessels. Let me elaborate on this specific point. As a background, these two vessels originally had a useful life of 40 years. Obviously, ongoing, as you're well aware, ongoing technological investments in LNG vessels have led to a significant shift towards more efficient and eco-friendly designs. From an accounting perspective, a benchmarking exercise was conducted, looking at the existing contract commercial outlook and recognizing that it is highly unlikely that the existing contract would be extended beyond the firm contract period, and the vessel will likely be operating in the spot market after the end of the contract. This prompted a reassessment and ultimately a change in the estimated useful life of the vessels from 40 years to 30 years. The change in useful life triggered an acceleration in the annual depreciation charge and also led to an impairment due to the shortened asset lifespan, which is reflected in the non-operating section of the P&L. At the non-operating level, income increased by $83 million, broken out as follows. $50 million increase in impairments related to the change in useful life of the two LNG vessels I just discussed. $65 million increase in results from associates, mainly from our share of Nakilat. And an $82 million increase in results from joint arrangements, mainly from our VLGC JV. Net profit for the segment ended up $52 million, or 8% higher than last year. In our trading segment, essentially, an across-the-board reduction in sales drove a 20% drop in revenue versus 23. That, along with an $8 million provision for an obsolete parts adjustment, drove the bottom line to a $29 million loss for 24. And lastly, capital revenue slipped by negative 2%, or $8 million, with a $50 million drop from lower Qatar Quarry sales, more than offsetting $42 million in higher overall investment income. Total expenses came down by $63 million, driven by the reduced Qatar Quarry's cost of goods sold. At the non-operating level, income decreased by $60 million, with $63 million of that related to the impairment on one of our real estate assets. All in all, capital reported, and specifically the real estate asset is the logistics asset. All in all, capital recorded a net profit decrease of $3 million compared to 2024. And that wraps up the segments, and I will now turn it over to Sami to discuss the outlook.
Thank you, Akram. Thank you, callers. Starting with maritime and logistics, on the container shipping side, rates are expected to come under pressure given new vessel capacity, political and economic trade and tariff issues, and the potential for the gradual easing of the Red Sea crisis. In logistics, turnaround efforts are expected to improve results, but the environment remains very competitive and challenging. In offshore, on the support vessels and services side, we expect to see continued growth, particularly longer term, with all the expansion work in Qatar's oil and gas industry. For the harbor and industrial logistics operations, we expect stable revenue given the long-term nature of most contracts. In gas and petchem, overall, we expect limited volatility due to the long-term nature of contracts we have in most business units. Our VLGC JV is the exception, where charter rates are currently stable in near to midterm. However, the longer-term outlook is uncertain. In trading, we will be focused on reorganizing the segment and continuing our focus on profitable growth and margin improvement. And lastly, capital, where we will continue to focus on yield enhancement. With that, operator, we'll now open the call up for questions.
We are now opening the floor for question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, followed by one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a brief moment to wait for the questions to come in. Your first question comes from Nikhil Puthang from CBFS. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the presentation. Just wanted to understand, you know, division-wise in terms of what has happened. You mentioned about, you know, slightly higher depreciation during fourth quarter for maritime and logistics division. So wanted to understand, has there been any purchases or on this? Also, along with that, you know, your JV income has been quite volatile during the year. So, I mean, how can you model that going forward?
Repeat. Hold on. Just let's start with one question at a time. You're talking about the increase in depreciation?
Yeah. A slight increase which has taken place in fourth quarter. So, wanted to, I mean, as from the run rate of for the first 2 to 3 quarters. So, wanted to understand the reason behind it, as there has been some divisions which have been added up.
On the LNG vessels, right? As I mentioned, we had an increase in, we changed the useful life of the two LNG vessels that we own 100%. Historically, when we bought them, the economic useful life was 40 years, and we changed that to 30 years. And as I mentioned earlier, for you know, for obvious reasons, which we believe that, you know, due to the technological advancements that are happening in the LNG space and in LNG shipping space, those vessels, more likely than not, will not be renewed on the current contract and will likely trade in the spot market. So the economic life will be changed, and we changed it from 40 years to 30 years. So we adjusted it 30 years before we, because we feel that it's much more reasonable and reflects sort of the remaining economic useful life of those two LNG vessels. Hence the reason for the decrease in the depreciation.
Okay, I mean, fine. I mean, apart from this, you also mentioned, you know, on the logistic front, real estate. So can you just give us color? What exactly is that impairment related to, and what do you see it going forward?
I mean, listen, the impairment for the logistics, you know, again, we do an accounting exercise every year looking at the future cash flow potential, earning potential of the warehouse. And so based on that, we took an impairment. With the utilization continues to remain low. And we do, to be frank with you, it's still a challenging environment for logistics. And as part of the facility, we built out a infrastructure component of this large, it's a large facility, a little over 400,000 square meters. And so, we've taken impairments on some of the other infrastructure investments that we made in that facility. Plus, we adjusted our outlook for the warehouse, and hence the reason for the impairment.
Okay, I mean, all this is in relation with your, you know, earlier conference calls that you have, where you did mention that, you know, we could not be seeing much impairment, especially on the vessels front. So, I mean, 2025, do you...
Well, that's not what I said. Let's be clear. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said we're not going to be significant material impairments. So I cannot give, you know, I cannot tell you on a call or tell you for certainty that I can, you know, that there will be or won't be impairments. We have, you know, the business world around the changes is not static, and therefore we have to react to it, and we have models and accounting standards we have to follow. So I never said there will never be impairments. I said that we are likely not to see material impairments like we've seen them in the past.
Okay. Okay, point taken, sir. Okay, coming on the positive side, in terms of your offshore marine division, I mean, fourth quarter has seen good progress, especially from your services and chartering. So, can we consider this, you know, as a base for 2025? You still see difficulty going forward, in first half especially.
Sorry, Nikhil, this is Sammy. Can you repeat the question? It appears Akram logged off by, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This has got to do with your offshore marine division. I mean, I think the fourth quarter revenues have been very, done well on the services and chartering. So I wanted to know whether we can consider this as a base going forward, or, I mean, this is again an yearly trend which we can see in largely in the fourth quarter.
I mean, look, quite frankly, what we said in the past is we're very bullish on offshore. We expect the trajectory to be upward trending. You will have some blips along the way. When you have a fleet of, 40 plus vessels, plus another 18 or 19 harbor vessels, so you're talking in total close to 60 vessels, you're going to have instances where some vessels come offline, they're going in for repairs, maintenance, whether it's planned or unplanned. So I don't want to say Q4 is a good barometer, nor do I want to say Q3 is a good barometer, but what I can tell you is that we're very bullish. We expect the trend to be upward for the next few years.
All right, Sammy, I'm back. I got kicked off somehow. Okay. Did you manage to
answer
the rest of the question? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
To ask a question, please press star 1. As of right now, we don't have any pending questions. I'd now like to hand back over to Bobby for further remarks.
Hi. Hey, it's Bobby again. I just wanted to follow up with a quick question on offshore. I think previously you had talked about a capital spending plan about 2 billion riyals. Over the next several years. Can you maybe give us a little more fine-tuning in terms of how or when we can expect this capital to be spent, please? Thank you.
Okay. That's a good question, Bobby, because I can tell you our plan for 2025, is a capex of close to 1.7 billion just to be spent in 2025, of which 1.3 to 1.4 billion will be vessel-related. And that's our CapEx plan. So when we'll model this out for 2025, the assumption is we will be spending that much CapEx. Obviously, our ability to, these are CapEx investments that are largely tied to the growth in oil and gas space in Qatar. And our focus is, and obviously today in today's market, it's very challenging to find assets. So the plan is to spend that in 2025, but it all depends on the availability of offshore assets, mainly in the market, and new builds. So this is sort of our target for 2025, just to put things in perspective. 26 could be also a much higher number. The amount of growth in the oil and gas sector in Qatar is phenomenal. It's beyond anyone's expectations, if you will, and it's beyond anything we've seen in a long, long time. So that just gives you sort of, puts into perspective the amount of investments that we're making in the sector.
Okay. And just as a follow-up, so 2026 could be even better and or higher. So your target of this 2 billion riyals could also be increased, I guess, in the future.
Potentially it could be.
Yeah. And this 1.4 billion that's to be spent in the offshore this year, do we have a rough sense of what type of vessels and how many vessels we are looking to add?
I think the 1.4 is mostly offshore, but obviously it's almost close to 90% offshore, and it's a mix of different vessels. The demand in Qatar for vessels ranges from PSVs, HGSs, you name it. There's a huge demand for vessels, and so it's difficult for me to right now give you sort of the breakdown of the vessels, and we don't want to share that right now. But I can tell you that the amount of CapEx is substantial.
Okay. And just another final question. On the LNG vessels that you lowered the useful life from 40 to 30 years, can you discuss when you have these firm contracts coming off and when will these vessels go in the spot market?
We have 5 and 7 years.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you.
No problem. Okay.
Ellie, do we have any other questions?
Right now, we don't have any other raised hands.
Okay, all right. In that case, I would like to thank Akram and Sami for going over the presentation and discussing Milaha's performance for 2024. And we will pick this up again next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for attending today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Have a wonderful day.